In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Glad to be with you today. We continue with the Joseph cycle, and we start with chapter 42, verse 36. "Their father Jacob said, 'You have made me to be without children.' Joseph is not living, he's dead. Simeon is kept in bonds in Egypt, and you want to take Benjamin away, the youngest? All these evils are fallen upon me,' says Jacob. And Reuben answered him, 'Kill my two sons if I bring him not again to thee. Kill my two sons if I do not bring Benjamin back to thee.' But he said, 'My son shall not go down with you. His brother is dead,'" that's Joseph, "'and he is left alone. If any mischief befall on him in that land to which you go, you will bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to hell.'" Chapter 43. "In the meantime, the famine was great and heavy upon the land." Remember the 7 good years and the 7 broken years of famine? Remember, Joseph said, "Store it up, store it up, store it up." Remember? "In the meantime, the famine was heavy upon all the land," all the land, that's including Canaan. "And when they had eaten up all the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, 'Go again and buy us food.' Judah answered, 'The man declared unto us with attestation of an oath, saying, "You shall not see my face unless you bring your youngest brother with you." So this is it, you know. They're going to either starve to death or they have to let go of Benjamin. I'm just going to tell you something, my friends. What do you have to let go of? What is your Benjamin? What is your Benjamin? Is it a relationship? Is it a habit? Is it alcohol? What is your Benjamin that you don't want to give it up? You know, we all have something. We all have something. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has disciplined me whenever I had something that I wanted just for myself. He always has taken it away from me. What is your Benjamin? That which you're holding, that which you don't want to give up. At least this Benjamin was a real person. Yours might be a habit, a relationship, sexual disorder, pornography. What is your Benjamin that you need the grace of God to let it go? You need the grace of God to let it go. And God will give you that grace. I'll tell you how. You get on your knees every morning and give the Lord that Benjamin. If it's drink, you say, "Lord, I don't even want to be tempted to drink today. I take you as my Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus." What is your Benjamin? What are you holding on to that you don't want to give up? Judah answered, "The man declared unto us with attestation of an oath, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless you bring your youngest brother with you. If therefore you will send him with us, we will set out together and will buy the necessities for thee.'" In other words, we buy the food that you need for you and for us. "But if you will not, we will not go. For the man, as we have often said, declared unto us, 'You shall not see my face without your youngest brother.' Israel said," Jacob said to them, "'You have done this for my misery, in that you hold him you told him you also had another brother. You told him you had another brother. But they answered, the man asked us in order concerning our kindred, if our father lived, if we had a brother. And we answered him regularly according to what he demanded. Could we know that he would say, bring hither your brother? In other words, we've answered his questions. We had no idea that he was going to say, bring your brother. Well, you see, this is Joseph. They don't realize it's Joseph. They think Joseph has been bought by the Amalekites. They think Joseph is somewhere far away. They pretended that Joseph had died to the father. But you see, this is Joseph they're talking about. This is their brother brought into slavery. But you know what? The anointing of God was on him. The favor of God was on him. And God will bring good out of all this. And you know, somewhere along the line, Joseph had to forgive his brothers. Yes, he's going to tell us, God, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm telling you, someplace along the line, Joseph has to forgive his brothers for what they did to him. You know, when he's in Potiphar's cellar or prison, Joseph is going to have to do something. Joseph is going to have to do something to forgive these people. You know, Joseph is a man of God, and God's hand is on him, and God's anointing is on him, and God's favor is on him. But you know what? He has to forgive all those who hurt him. But they answered, the man asked us in order concerning our kindred, if our father lived, if we had a brother, and we answered him regularly according to what he demanded. Could we know that he would say, bring your brother here? And Judah said to his father, send the boy with me, that we may set forward and may live, lest both we and our children perish. In other words, they'll starve to death. They'll starve to death because they have so little food. I take the boy upon me, require him at my hand, unless I bring him again and restore him to you. I will be guilty of sin against thee forever. If delay had not been made, we had been here again the second time. Then Israel said to them, if it must needs be so, do what you will. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels. Carry down presents to the man, a little balm, some honey, myrrh, turpentine, almonds, and take with you double money, and carry back that you found in your sacks, lest perhaps it was done by mistake. In other words, remember that Joseph put all the things that they had given him back in their pouches, back in their bags. And he says, now take it back, but maybe there was some mistake. And take also your brother and go to the man. Go to the man. So they have to take Benjamin. Again, what is your Benjamin? What are you holding? What won't you give up that God is asking you to give up? You know, it's as simple as that. You know, it's not your family, but it might be a relationship in your family that God wants you to be at peace with these people. I don't know what your Benjamin is. I know my Benjamins. I know my Benjamins. My Benjamins is I want to cling on. I want to cling on like a little child wants to cling on to his mother. So I have to let go. I have to let go of everything that I want to cling on to and hold my hands open that God would use me and that God would bless me, that I don't want to hold anything back from the Lord. So take also your brother and go to the man, and may my Almighty God make him favorable to you and send back with you your brother whom he keeps, and this Benjamin. As for me, I shall be desolate without children. So the men took the presents and double the money and Benjamin and went down into Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when he had seen them and Benjamin with them, he commanded the steward of the house, saying, bring in the men into the house and kill victims. Prepare a feast, because they shall eat with me at noon, my lord. This is a good man. This Joseph is a good man. You know, it's like the prodigal father. that's saying, you know, no, even though he's done this to me, even though they've done this to me, we're going to have a feast and they're going to eat with me. Remember, Joseph had command of all the kingdom. The only thing he didn't have command of was the throne when the king was on the throne. The king had given Joseph as governor of Egypt and as dispenser of the food. I tell you, now Joseph says, we will kill victims and prepare a feast because they shall eat with me at noon. He did as he was commanded and brought the men into the house. And they being much afraid, and there one to another, because of the money which we carried back the first time in our sacks, we are brought in that he may bring upon us a false accusation, and by violence make slaves of us all. So what's he saying? You know, he can really make slaves of us all because we still have the money that we paid for the food, but they don't know that Joseph put it in there. Wherefore, going up to the steward of the house at the door, they said, Sir, we desire thee to hear us. We came down once before to buy food, and when we had bought and come to the inn, we opened our sacks and found our money in the mouths of the sacks, which we have now brought again in the same weight. And we have brought other money besides to buy what we want. We cannot tell you who put the money in our bags. But he answered, Peace be with you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. For the money which you gave me, I have for good. And he brought Simeon out to them. You know, it's Joseph. They still don't recognize Joseph. And you know, sometimes we don't recognize Jesus. We don't recognize Jesus. He's doing things and we don't recognize it. You know, when people tell me something about what the Lord does and how they recognize it, I say, you know, it's wonderful that you recognize it. Other people don't recognize it. You know, I received a letter from a seminarian who's a deacon now, and he recognizes that the day he came to Holy Rosary, God spoke a word to him that helped him through. He recognizes it. Sometimes we don't recognize what God does. When we recognize what God does, we need to say, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Recognize what God has done. You know, they don't recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. Joseph recognizes them. And we have brought other money besides to buy what we want. We cannot tell you who put this money into our bags. But he answered, Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. For the money which you gave me, I have for good. And he brought Simeon out to them. And having brought them into the house, he fetched water, and they washed their feet and gave provision to their donkeys. But they made ready the presents against Joseph come at noon, for they had heard that they should eat bread there. Then Joseph came into the house, and they offered him the presents, holding them in their hands, and they bowed down with their face to the ground. Oh, here comes the fulfillment of the prophecy, that the 11 brothers bow down to Joseph. That the 11 brothers bow down to Joe. They're bowing down to the governor, but they have no idea that the governor is their brother at this point. Then Joseph came into the house, and they offered him the presents. But he, courteously saluting them again, asked them, saying, Is the old man, your father, in good health, of whom you told me? Is he yet living? And they answered, Your servant, our father, is in health. He is yet living. And bowing themselves, they made obeisance to him. In other words, they bowed to him as if he were like the king, but he's the governor. And Joseph, lifting up his eyes, saw Benjamin his brother, by the same mother. In other words, they had the same mother, and said, "Is this your young brother of whom you told me?" And he said, "God be gracious to thee, my son." And he made haste, because his heart was moved upon his brother, and tears gushed out, and he going into his chamber, he wept. So Joseph now sees Benjamin. Benjamin and Joseph had the same mother, and Joseph is just filled with emotion. So he doesn't want them to see it, so he goes into his own chamber, and he weeps. I tell you, this Joseph is an extraordinary man. He's an extraordinary man. And he didn't even have Jesus. He just was a righteous man. He didn't hold anything against the brothers. The brothers sold him into slavery, and he did not hold it against them. Potiphar's wife got him arrested, and he did not hate Potiphar or his wife. You know, this is a forgiving man. This is a man who knows when God is at work. This is a man who feels the presence of God. And when he had washed his face, because he had been weeping, coming out again, he refrained himself and said, "Set bread on the table." Now he's going to feed them. "Oh, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies," I tell you. These brothers were not his friends. They were his enemies. But you know what? He doesn't look at them as if they were enemies. He looks at them as his brothers. Set something before them. Sent something before them. And when it was set on for Joseph apart and for his brethren apart, for the Egyptians also that ate with him apart, for it is unlawful for Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews, and they think such a feast profane, they sat down, the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his age, and they wondered very much, taking the messes which they received of him, and the greater mess came to Benjamin, so that it exceeded by 5 parts, and they drank and were merry with him. This is a party that he's throwing for them. This is a dinner. This is something wonderful. But he gives Benjamin much more than he gives the other ones. Why? Because Benjamin is born of the same mother. This Joseph is extraordinary. You know, it's the hardest thing to do on our own is to forgive people. The only way we can do it is we go to the cross and borrow forgiveness from Jesus. It's the only way I can forgive. Unless I borrow forgiveness from Jesus, saying, "Jesus, I come to you, I borrow this forgiveness for these people who hurt me. I borrow this forgiveness." I remember when I was in the seminary, we were having our first New Testament test, and we were studying in somebody's room. I remember, I'll never forget it. We're all studying this New Testament and all the things that the teacher could ask us. And someone says to the person in the house, "Do you think you'd like to be like Father Tom, who knows the Bible?" And he said, "I wouldn't want to be like Father Tom in any way." Now, I'm in the room. How do you think I feel? Like I want to go through the crack in the door and go to my own room. But I stayed till the end, and I got on my knees that night. I got on my knees that night, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to hate this person. He doesn't know me. I don't want to hate him. I ask you to forgive him. I have no forgiveness for him, but I ask you to forgive him, and I take this forgiveness, and I forgive him. I don't hold it against him." When he was a deacon, and I was 1 year behind him, he came up to me and said, "You, Father, you, Tom, were the most inspirational person in this seminary for me." The same one that said, "I wouldn't want to do anything like Tom DiLorenzo." I tell you, forgiveness is an art, and it only obtained through the cross of Jesus Christ. Joseph had an extraordinary gift of forgiveness. He forgave his brothers who sold them into slavery. Who do you have to forgive? Who do you have to forgive? Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Who do you have to forgive? I don't know. I can't say that. But the way to do it is to sit under the crucifix, sit under the cross and tell Jesus, I want to borrow your forgiveness today. I have no forgiveness of my own. I need you to forgive through me. This is the way to do it. I don't care what you feel afterwards. If you have to do it again, you do it again. I want to borrow your forgiveness from the cross. From the cross. The first word of Jesus was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was his first word. He needed to forgive us for what we did. We put him on the cross. He needed to forgive the people who nailed him to the cross. He needed to forgive Pontius Pilate. He needed to forgive the high priests. I tell you, Jesus needed to forgive, and he did forgive. He forgave. And what happens? Salvation. Salvation. Oh, Joseph was a great forgiver. In Joseph chapter 44, commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill their sacks with corn, as much as they can hold, and put the money and of everyone in the top of the sack, and in the mouth of the younger's sack, put my silver cup, that's in Benjamin's sack, and the price which he gave for the wheat. And it was so done. They did it. And when the morning arose, they were sent away with their donkeys. And when they were now departed out of the city, they had gone forward a little way. Joseph, sending for the steward of his house, said, arise and pursue after these men. And when you have overtaken them, say to them, why have you returned evil for good? Why have you taken the things that are in your sack? And they didn't take it at all. Joseph put it in there. So Joseph has a plan. The cup which you have stolen is that in which my Lord drinks, and in which he is wont to be divine. You have done a very evil thing. Joseph is playing a game now, playing a trick on them. He did as he had commanded him, and having overtaken them, he spoke to them the same words. And they answered, why do our Lord speak so, as though your servants had committed some heinous evil, some heinous fact? The money that we found in the top of our sacks we brought back to thee from the land of Canaan. How then should it be that we should steal out of thy Lord's house gold or silver? With whomsoever of thy servants shall be found, that which you seek, let him die, and we will be the bondmen of my Lord. And he said to them, let it be according to your sentence. With whomsoever it shall be found, let him be my servant, and you shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down their sacks to the ground, and every man opened his sack, which when he had searched, beginning at the eldest and ending with the youngest, he found the cup in Benjamin's sack. He put it in there. Then they rent their garments, and loading their donkeys again, returned to the town. And Judah at the head of his brethren went in to Joseph, for he was not yet gone out of the place. And they altogether fell down before Joseph on the ground. And he said to them, why would you do so? Know you not that there is no one like me in the science of divining? And Judah said to him, what shall we answer, my Lord? Or what shall we say? Or what shall we allege? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are all bondmen to my Lord, both we and he whom the cup was found. Joseph answered, God forbid that I should do so. He that stole the cup, he shall be my bondman. That's Benjamin. And go ye away and free to your father. Then Judah, coming nearer, said boldly, I beseech thee, my Lord, let thy servant speak a word in your ears, and be not angry with thy servant, for after Pharaoh thou art. My Lord, thou didst ask thy servant the first time, have you a father or a brother? And we answered thee, my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a young boy that was born in his old age, whose brother by the mother is dead, and he alone is left to be his mother, and his father loves him tenderly. Now, we'll end there. I want to just end on the thing of forgiveness. Joseph, the man of forgiveness. Joseph, the man who has a party for those who put him into the Amalekites' presence, who sold him away for 20 pieces of silver. I want to say that it's important that we forgive. The way we forgive is by going to the cross and asking the Lord to give me grace to forgive. And you know what? That's just the way it is. Lord, give me grace to forgive, especially if you're sensitive. And I'm a very sensitive person, and people have hurt me. They have hurt me when I was young, especially. You know, now that I'm old, I just don't have what I had when I was young. They hurt me when I was young. I had to forgive them over and over and over and over again until it was gone. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you'd like to pay by PayPal, www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And you can also see our videos and our radio programs, www.inseason.net. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.